VGMP.
Yeah, I know you're busy, President Sega. Just hear me out. It's just a very quick pitch, okay? Now, I understand that you and Senor Paramount have done this Knuckles show, and that's nice, that's well and good. I know you were a little bit shaken by Nintendo and their massive success with Mario. I agree, it wasn't fair. Mario's garbage, and that film entirely coasted on the reputation of the Peaches song. Fine. But Knuckles. Knuckles, I'd like to pitch President Sega and Senor Paramount, if I may, that you do the series we all actually want, which is Kevin James as Big the Cat.
I'm gonna throw up. I just sucked in a fuzz.
Imagine that as a mini-series, yeah? Oh shit, they're recording. I'm sorry, I've got to go. I'll call you guys later.
Hello there. Hi, I'm Jamie, host of VGMP, the Video Game Movie Podcast, and Rory's here. Hi, Rory, how you doing?
Hi, you just caught me wanking.
You've just caught me.
No, that's a good point.
The logic of the sketch.
That's true, fair enough, okay.
I thought you were starting improv, Rory.
I've started.
Oh, you pick up on the logic.
I started. Sorry, what the first thing that we've been taught is, yes, and
I'm wanking.
And I'm wanking.
Because you're a preemie creamy.
Yeah.
Oh, that joke's gone forever now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless
I can salvage it.
I can't remember what the setup for it was. Adam Pally, who you may know from the old sitcom Happy Endings, which was cancelled way too soon, he reprises his role as Wade Whipple, the deputy.
That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Happy Ending got cancelled
too soon. I think a lot of people with happy endings finish too soon.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a premature ejaculation joke.
Yeah, I got it.
I know you've got it. I know you've got it. Yeah, you just heard it. No! Rory's a preemie.
Preemie, is that a term?
Yeah.
I'm a preemie.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of VGMP DLC, which is our short Tuesday releasing series where we review things that are short or series, things that just don't, you know, warrant a full VGMP episode dedicated to them. You know what I'm saying? And today we're talking about brand new release from Paramount Plus. This is the spin-off to their successful Sonic the Hedgehog movie series. It's Knuckles.
Woo!
A 6-episode series that all dropped at midnight. They did that batch release thing that they do now, starring Idris Elba as the titular echidna and Adam Pally from the old sitcom Happy Endings as Wade Whipple. You may remember him from the first film. And did he appear in the second one? I don't remember.
I think he might have been in it briefly.
He's the deputy.
Yeah, he's the dumbass deputy.
Yeah. As well as guest appearances from Ben Schwartz, etc. from the films. Colleen O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
And this is essentially a sort of buddy cop comedy, basically, with Knuckles and this deputy guy. We pick up a few months after Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has ended. Knuckles is struggling to adjust to life on Earth, living sort of a civilian life for the first time ever. He's not constantly going into battle or on quests or things like that, and he's kind of struggling with it, taking his frustrations out by helping to train the family dog Ozzy to battle his fiercest enemy, the Postman. And he keeps attacking, they're basically having work done on their house, and he keeps attacking the building teams. And Sonic sort of says to him, dude, you know, you gotta make yourself a home. He tries that, doesn't go down well either, because he basically forcibly renovates their house. And then he prays to his ancestors and gets a vision from a echidna, voiced by Christopher Lloyd, that he should take on an apprentice and teach them the ways of the echidna. Yes. That's our base setup here.
It is indeed.
So let's talk about episode one, first of all. Episode one was pretty cool. It's a good start. This definitely, unlike our Fallout series that we reviewed, where that we felt that got off to a rocky start and eventually got better, this actually starts pretty strong, I thought.
Yeah.
You get a really cool montage with a lot of like visual references in it, including Knuckles has set up a obstacle course, and at the end of the obstacle course is the goal sign from the games.
Yeah.
And he runs past it and it spins
around with a photo of
and
him.
It was like, hey. So I noticed they couldn't get James Marsden back.
No, they couldn't afford Marsden. Either that or he was busy.
Yep, true, he may have been busy. They are doing another X-Men thing, aren't they? So
yeah.
Maybe he's coming back as Cyclops in Deadpool and Wolverine, maybe.
Yes.
Mayhaps. So the slack from the human characters is picked up by Ellie, Donut Lord's wife. And to be fair, she's doing a good job. Her comedic timing's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I really like her reaction when she comes in and he's like built the Iron Throne. She's like, yeah. Is that the Iron Throne? It's simply a representative of my status as champion of the family. And she's like, when he she grounds him.
Yeah, he starts back-chatting her, and so it's like, oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Unlike Fallout, which kind of was trying to do too much in its first episode, this kind of sets us up with everything nice and quick. We already know who our antagonistic force is. You've got two gun agents played by Ellie Taylor and Scott Mascoudi.
Yep.
Who have kind of got a comedic Jesse James Team Rocket sort of thing going on.
Yes.
With mixed results. And they're basically betraying Gunn. They're in league with a guy whose name has not been revealed yet, but he's played by Rory McCann, who you may know as the Hound from Game of Thrones, most famously.
Yes.
Amongst many other roles as well. And he's playing... He seems to be some sort of engineer.
Yeah, he's got loads of old Robotnik...
Tech
and shit. And he's managed to somehow get hold of several Knuckles quills, which he's using the same way Robotnik used Sonic's quills. He's using Knuckles' quills in sort of his own kiboshed...
Yeah.
Mechanics. He's got two... He built two gauntlets and a gun.
Yeah, big laser cannon thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's playing it very serious where we're at so far, isn't he? He's not doing any of the Jim Carrey
Though he's not in the second one at all.
No, so I don't think he'll be in it again till like 5 and 6, probably.
Yeah.
But he's doing a very sort of, I am evil sort of thing. Which is good. I'm fine with them taking the villain seriously. You've got comedic henchmen. You don't want this villain to just be Robotnik again.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, though.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit... I tell you the feeling I'm getting a little bit. I know this won't mean anything to you, but in Spider-Man Homecoming, Michael Keaton's villain, the Vulture, the whole gimmick of him is he basically... travels the world following the Avengers, and after their battles he pilfers the left behind technology.
Right.
And I'm kind of thinking that's what this guy's doing, is he's gone to the site of all the Eggman battles and pilfered the technology that's left behind. But we'll see.
Just want to apologize to anyone hearing me sniffle and maybe blowing my nose at any point. I am quite ill, probably will be throughout the Knuckles run of episodes, because we're doing them on a block recording. And Jamie, I have decided...
Just get it over with.
I've decided to do what you've requested, which is to bring something extra.
I did not request this.
You requested a little extra, so I brought a little extra.
Here's some inside baseball, listeners. What's about to happen, I can only apologise for. But think about me. You see, Rory fucked up today. And we actually recorded this entire episode once already, and Rory forgot to turn his mic on. Better episode. So I've had to... So we're recording for a second time. So this is the second time I've had to hear this rap,
Jamie,
that you're about to hear. So think of me, okay?
Concerning, isn't it, that you don't know what I'm about to do, because it's a rap.
I know exactly what you're about to do, and while you do it, I'm going to pour another drink.
It's called Unknown from C19, and it's...
But you don't have COVID-19.
But I'm sick. And so I have rewritten the intro verse of Unknown from ME to fit the fact that I am sick today. So here we go. This may get cut.
No, if I have to listen to it twice, you're putting it in. They can all suffer too.
Here I come, feeling rougher than the rest of them. A vest of phlegm covered in boogers. You can call me Rory, I'm nearly 40. Like Jamie, I'd rather tell my stories. Blow hard as hell, gets hard to smell. Breaking capillaries, sore and so frail. Unlike the rest, I'm dependent on my first breath. No pets and ruin my nose cleft.
On an island in the heavens,
The phlegm of my ancestors flows inside me. Do you like it, Jamie? Is it better the second time?
So the thing about this series, something this does better than the first two films, actually, is in the first two films, every time the human characters are on screen, other than Robotnik himself, you're kind of sitting there just waiting for Sonic and Tails and that lot to turn up again.
Yeah.
And I was kind of worried that's what was going to happen here.
Yeah.
To be fair to Adam Pally and the supporting cast, but he's doing a pretty good job of carrying the bits that are just him.
Yeah, the second episode, the whole second episode, Knuckles has been kidnapped. Mm. So most of Adam Pally's scenes are on his own.
Yeah.
But you don't miss... You don't miss Knuckles anyway because he has his own scenes, but you're not watching those going, yeah, come on, hurry up, get back to Knuckles.
Because the only thing I've seen Adam Pally in before this is Happy Endings, where he's part of an ensemble that's like a Friends-style sitcom. So I wasn't sure he'd be able to lead something.
Yeah.
But he's doing a really good job. He's also one of the few times in TV where it's actually a realistic-looking middle-aged man.
Yeah.
Like, he's not ripped, he's not super slim, is he?
No, he's a bit overweight. He's
not ugly by any
but he's not stunning, he is funny.
He's not James Marsden, who's ridiculously handsome.
No.
And you're like, why are you the sheriff in this tiny town? Like, why aren't you a male model?
That's why he was leaving the town, wasn't it? He was in the first film.
It's like, to be fair, that's, you just have to sucked out with any film, though. It's like, I saw a meme the other day where they pointed out that most Arnold Schwarzenegger films will be Arnold Schwarzenegger living in a small town playing a bloke named like John Smith, and just no one mentions his thick Austrian accent or the fact that he could lift the fucking... It is named Howard in that. Because I remember when we watched it for Second Take Cinema.
We were like,
no man this size has ever been called Howard.
Yeah.
They're called things like Arnold.
I like the fact as well, like, this guy is unbelievably ripped for, like, a middle-aged dad.
Yeah.
Who works a desk job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy is fucking built like a brick shithouse.
Yeah. The show's helped a lot by the fact that it's got a very quirky sense of humour. It's a sort of...
cartoon.
It's kind of embracing that cartoon logic sort of thing. So, for example, in the first episode, when we're introduced to Adam Pally's character, he's playing in a bowling tournament, or rather it's like a practice match ahead of a tournament, and he's on a team called the Renegades, led by a bloke called Jack Sinclair, who I love. He's got, like, long hair and a moustache. He sounds like Liam Neeson. And he's, like, unreasonably intense.
Yes.
When he's telling this guy to crush this girl who's on the opposing team.
Yeah.
But he sort of, when Wade fucks up, basically, getting the strike, he drops him from the team and he sides with the little girl.
Yeah,
and
says he's bringing her on board instead.
Yeah, because her parents are rich and they're going to buy them a stretch Hummer. And he says to him, we can't take you with us. But if you ever need a bounty hunted, call me, because this man, as well as being the leader of a bowling team, is a professional bounty hunter, apparently.
Yeah.
And you believe it because of the way he looks. You're like, yeah, I believe that.
Played by an actor called Julian Barrett.
Oh, I know Julian Barrett.
Yeah.
He's been in loads of stuff, Julian Barrett.
He was in The Mighty Boosh, apparently.
Yeah. I had no idea that was Julian Barrett.
Yeah. He's also been in Bob's Burgers, Bloods. He's been in quite a lot of things, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's been around a while.
Yeah, so...
wow.
I didn't recognise him either.
Wow, okay, fair play.
He's got a lot of charisma as this character. He's very funny.
A lot of really good British actors in this, then. Yeah, he hands him this card, and then the card sort of comes to life and is like, by the way, I was lying about the Hummer. We just didn't want you to come. And similarly, in the second episode, probably the highlight of the second episode, to be fair, is... there's a sequence where, as Rory said, Knuckles has been kidnapped and Adam Pally's character is imagining how he's going to save him. And this is all done in an exaggerated, goofy montage set to the tune of Bonnie Tyler's I Need a Hero.
Yes.
That's super 80s style. And, like, the things he's doing, like, triple flipping through the air and stuff like that.
He uses dental floss to do the Mission Impossible thing where he's like pulled down from the ceiling on the wire.
Yeah.
But the wire is just dental floss.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant sequence. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then how he fucks it up is also hilarious.
Yeah, I love the fact that when he gets out to do it for real, he puts the sunglasses on just like he did in his vision, but he's left the $1.99 price tag on them. And then because he's put those gauntlets on, he's trying to put Bonnie Tyler on Spotify, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he can't because the touchscreen on his phone won't recognise because he's got the gloves on. And then he tries to use his nose and he ends up putting on, I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I don't actually know who sings that.
I don't know.
I've heard that song in a billion different films.
Right.
And I actually still to this day don't know who sings it. But, and then he sort of trips. Oh, that's it. He fist bumps himself, doesn't he? Yeah, but because he's wearing the power gloves, it causes
an explosion.
A concussive explosion.
Yeah.
And it's one of those Final Destination things where this causes everything to fall in just the right order, that it sets his car on fire.
Yeah, and all the fireworks go off inside the car.
Yeah.
There are things like that where the physical comedy is really funny.
But you have to be able to be on board with the fact it's stupid.
Yeah, you have to be on board with the fact that it's basically a live-action cartoon.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed the slapstick comedy of things like The Mask, actually, it's a lot more in line with that. There are a couple of times it doesn't work. Mm. There's when we're first introduced to the two agents, and they have their fight with Knuckles. Mm-hmm. Scott Mascoody is wearing the two gauntlets. He punches Knuckles and gives him the tagline he had, like, "Do you think I need your power?" that Knuckles used in the second film. And then it's immediately undone by
Agent Willoughby.
Agent Willoughby basically going, "Yeah, that's why we're here, obviously."
Yeah. And it's actually, unnecessary. Yes, we do need the power. That's why we're here.
Yeah, it's unnecessary bathos humor from things like the Avengers. And
that's the thing. Thing is, that was funny back when it was first done.
Yeah.
In like Avengers 1 or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like because that's a trope. Like you always have a villain who says something like that, and you're like, well, actually, yes, you do need that.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's been more than a decade, and there's still Marvel doing it, and everything else is still trying to copy Marvel.
Yeah,
and
I don't...
Guys, we're moving past this now. It's done. It's over. Like,
but it's not even well injected into the scene.
No, it's not.
There's the other couple of things that don't make sense is after that fight, the two agents manage to kidnap Knuckles, but then leave the gauntlets there. It makes no sense that they'd leave the gauntlets.
No. Especially because the gauntlets had... Like, it'd be one thing if... There's a very easy way they could have fixed this. Because remember, they're betraying Gunn, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
It should have been, they're having a fight, actual Gunn turn up and surround the building. Somehow they manage to get the gloves knocked off, and they've got Knuckles.
But they're out of time.
And then Gunn are about to come in, so they have to just run so they don't get caught. But the way it's actually done in the show...
They just abandon them.
They don't get knocked off, so you don't see them get knocked off.
No, you don't.
So basically, they win and then throw their weapons away.
Well, she keeps the gun.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He must then just go, all right, I'll take the gloves off and throw them away. And
I don't need these anymore, sort
why?
Of thing. Yeah, it's like that's still secret technology built by the guy who's hired you.
Yeah.
That you're betraying Gunn for.
Plus, it's powerful as fuck. You don't think you might need that in the future at some point?
Yeah. Why not take it just in case? Oh, you carried it through here.
Yeah. That, I mean, honestly.
That is a logical leap that unfortunately doesn't work.
No.
I don't hate the fact that Wade gets them. In fact, it makes sense that Wade gets them.
Mm.
It's just the way it happens.
Yeah.
Also, there's a point where... And I'm wondering if this might come back later, but I'm actually starting to worry it won't now. Willoughby, the female agent, takes two bowling balls to the chest, thrown by Knuckles, which we'd previously seen him throw down the bowling alley so hard that it shattered and broke like glass. And you're like, well, I'm sorry, if you hit her in the chest that hard with a bowling ball...
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's just one of those plot armor things.
It's
like how it's repeatedly shown in the Resident Evil franchise that one punch from Wesker can kill someone, and yet he never just kills Chris.
Yeah.
Like, even though he's hit Chris, like...
It's like he's just slapping him around.
Yeah, I think it's got to be one. It's just one of those things, I think.
Yeah. Though what I would say is there is one scene, and I'm hoping it doesn't lead to nowhere. Mm. In the second episode, when they've captured Knuckles, they take him to Ice Cap Ski Resort,
yep,
which is an interesting callback. And Willoughby is talking to Knuckles and says, you don't know me, but I know everything about you. I know where you're from. I know about your warrior background, but you don't know anything about me. Like, as a villain line, is it going to turn out like that, and the being able to withstand a smash to the chest from Knuckles' bowling balls? Mm. That sounds like innuendo I didn't intend. I was sort of like, is it going to turn out maybe she's from the Owl Clan? No. I don't know how they'd work that through.
No,
but
to be honest, I'd hate that. If it turns out she's an owl in a human suit, I would be so angry. I think if it goes anywhere, it will just turn out that, because they've got the rings, haven't they? The teleporting rings for somehow.
Yes.
It'll just turn out she's visited loads of different places.
Yeah.
Because that's new to the canon. Knuckles is basically Doctor Who in this, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's been everywhere in the galaxy and the universe, just wandering around doing random battles.
Well, actually, he'd probably be more like the Master. Because if you think about it, the main villains to the Echidna are owls. So they'd be, ooh, I can't even do it because I'm ill.
I could be playing Alan Wake 2 right now. I've just reinstalled it on the computer. I've chosen to spend my limited free time with you, and this is how you repay me.
May I quote Indiana Jones 3?
Phlegm wraps. And not even committing to your own pun. Oh, I'm too ill to do an owl noise.
I can't do the...
Suck it
Oh,
up.
There you go.
That's a pigeon.
That's more of a pigeon, isn't it, I suppose, yeah.
That's an owl.
I don't know. I'm not the owl man.
I'm not an ornithologist. No, I'm a hornithologist. Right, can I talk about my problem with
this show? Yes, go.
Now, this isn't a problem with this show specifically. This is a problem with Paramount Sonic Universe. I'm not going to let this ruin my enjoyment of the show. I'm not going to bring it up again, because I'm pretty sure I already harped on about this in the Sonic 2 episode. It's just a little teeny tiny thing. As its own thing, as its own separate universe thing, this is fine. This is not a very good portrayal of the character Knuckles from the game.
No, he's a different Knuckles.
Yeah, and it wasn't in Sonic 2 either. This isn't... No. I don't think Idris Elba's the right voice for him. I never have, but I personally don't think Idris Elba's a very good actor anyway.
Oh.
I think he's quite lazy a lot of the time. When he puts effort in, he's good.
He's just not your favourite.
No, I'm not a big fan. And they've made Knuckles, like, in the games and the comics, he was never stupid.
He was naive.
He was gullible and naive because he'd lived on his own for so long.
Yeah, why it worked with Sonic 3. Mm. Because this guy comes, I've crashed into your island, I apologise, but I was attacked by this horrible hedgehog. You know, he's got no way to gauge that because he's had no social interaction.
Yeah.
And he's seen the evidence that, obviously, Eggman crashed because he was attacked by someone. So he's got that evidence to support the naivety.
Yeah.
In this, some of the stuff he does, you're just like, again, like, at the beginning, he attacks a group of builders that are hired to redecorate the house.
It was nice to see him do his drill claw on screen, though.
That was cool. The problem is that would have worked, except for Sonic comes out and says the line, that's the fourth group in a month.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now you're either just being a dick...
Or stupid.
Or you're that stupid.
And it's just like...
And he's not even meant to be the stupid one.
Yeah.
Wade's meant to be the stupid one in the series.
And the fact that he just... I know, they're basically... If they turn this into, like, Dumb and Dumber, I'm out.
You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Is that from Dumb and Dumber?
Yes, it is.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
It's the best joke in Dumb and Dumber.
I've never watched Dumb and Dumber because I'll tell you for why.
You hate Jim Carrey.
One, I don't like Jim Carrey. And two, it's called Dumb and Dumber. I knew I didn't need to see that.
What about Dumb and Dumberer?
Yeah, no. And Dumb and Dumber 2. I don't need that either.
Dumb and Dumber 2 I didn't watch because it just looked sad.
The reviews weren't very good either.
Yeah, but I could see what they were doing because it was... They basically just did Dumb and Dumber again. but there's something sadder about it being done by people who are in their 40s, 50s. 50-year-old men going, oh, don't know, versus people in their 20s.
Yeah, there is something sad about it, isn't there, Rory?
I'm not in my 50s.
Nearly 40.
Yeah.
Here I come.
Rougher than the rest of them. The best of them. Tougher than leather.
Anyway, and he does this thing, and it's getting on my nerves. And I'm just going to have to ignore it because it's their version of Knuckles. But have you noticed he can't call anyone by their name? Hedgehog, Fox, Pretzel Lady.
Yeah.
That's not a thing from the games. In the games, he's always called him Sonic. He's always called him Tails. Like, yeah. Where's that come from?
It's because they're trying to do it, that they're really hitting hard the sort of ancient warrior vibe from him, aren't they? But it's gotten to the point of it basically pastiche.
And it's just different interpretation, because I always, my interpretation of Knuckles has always been much more in that tradition of Japanese anime. Almost every anime I've ever seen, you always have that one character. It's usually a good guy.
Yeah.
But they're the sort of more ambiguous good guy.
Yeah.
You have your main good guy. So you're Ash Ketchum.
Yeah.
Let's do Dragon Ball Z. You have Goku. Goku is good. You know Goku's never going to go evil. You must know enough pop culture to know who Goku is.
He's one
the main guy of Dragon Ball. Okay, fine. You don't know who Goku is.
Is he the black spiky hair or the bald one?
No, the black spiky hair.
Right. Who's the bald one?
Krillin.
Right.
The little bald guy.
Right.
Yeah, he's Krillin.
In the pad. Just Krillin.
You always have the character like Goku, who's your straight good guy, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But then you always have that sort of sidekick to them who maybe had like a... They're more like the mysterious loner. They don't... Kind of like Piccolo, or kind of like how Vegeta becomes in Dragon Ball Z. He starts off as a villain with his over 9,000 meme.
Right.
And,
Is that Vegeta in that?
That's Vegeta.
I thought that was Goku because he got spiky hair.
No, that's... Everyone has... It's fucking Dragon Ball Z. If they're not bold, they've all got spiky hair.
Oh.
Vegeta's the villain. He's like one of the first villains in the very early seasons of Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
And he's all like, oh, I could easily beat Kakarot, is what he calls Goku.
Kakarot?
Kakarot is Goku's real name from his alien planet. Goku, very quickly, because no one could possibly care, Goku is Superman. He was born on an alien planet. I'm not actually sure which one came first. No, Superman definitely came first. Goku is Superman. He's an alien from an alien race called the Saiyans. His planet gets destroyed, I think, by Frieza, if I remember right. His parents...
Nice to meet you.
I know. His parents send him to Earth, and he takes on the human name Goku.
Right. Human name. I suppose Goku is in Japan, yeah. Actually. No, fair enough.
Yeah, don't be racist.
I'm not being racist. I'm being stupid. I'm Knuckles.
Never attribute to hate speech what you can attribute to stupidity.
Exactly.
Vegeta turns up, and he's the surviving prince of the Saiyans. And he's all like, why have you taken a silly mortal name? Your name is Kakarot, damn it.
His name is Vegeta.
Vegeta, yeah. Yeah,
Why have you taken a stupid name? I am Vegeta.
Yeah, just everyone's got names like that.
I am Fan-Heater.
Right? Anyway, my point is, he ends up becoming this sort of anti-hero character.
Right.
And eventually a full good guy. My point is, I've always seen Knuckles in that sort of tradition.
Right.
In Sonic, he's the good guy who's not fully...
realised.
...in the team.
Yeah.
And the thing is, even the games have moved away from that because... they've kind of, and I guess they've had to because they couldn't keep coming up with reasons to bring him in otherwise, they've kind of dropped his whole loner living on the floating island guarding the Master Emerald.
Yeah,
thing,
they did
they,
it
in
Sonic
games.
Adventure 1. Sonic Adventure 2, they kind of just ignored it and just
brought the
Master Emerald in for it.
It's still
and
hinted
then,
in 2. But then yeah, from but, Heroes onwards.
Yeah, Heroes, it's just like, hey, it's Knuckles. He's just part of the game.
He just hangs out. Yeah, I'll admit, I don't like that either, so... me bringing this up was irrelevant largely, but my point is it is still bugging me a little even now that that's what they've chosen to do with him.
Yeah, because I mean, I prefer Knuckles as an antagonistic friend.
Yeah.
Like, rather than...
a rival.
Yeah. Or, yeah, but they are on the same side.
Yeah, friendly
but they,
rival. Yeah. They challenge each other.
Yeah, but then you got that in Sonic Adventure 1.
Yeah.
But you don't get it in Sonic Heroes Onward. It's just like, hey, what's up? And you're like, you shouldn't be... yeah. That pally.
But... yeah. Oh, well, it is what it is.
Yeah. But I understand what you mean. The version of Knuckles in this show is not the version of Knuckles you imagine when you play the games.
Yeah. But I've enjoyed these first two episodes.
Yeah, no, I have to say...
to see what else they do.
Largely a success as far as I'm concerned. Comparing it to Fallout, which is a completely different genre.
Type of show, yeah.
But it is still a modern... all download at once streaming show that's come out at the same sort of time.
Based on a video game, yeah.
This has had a better start off than Fallout.
Fallout has a real poor start.
Yeah. However, Fallout, by episode 3, certainly by episode 4, found a stride. So I'm hoping that this stays consistent, because it could be that this does the opposite, where it starts off stronger and then dips. And being that it's all comedy, it's actually going to be harder to sustain. Because let's be honest, Fallout, its biggest problem was it kept trying to inject comedy where it didn't work, and it hit drama and did that really well. I don't think you can make this hit drama the same way you could with something like Fallout, because the base elements of it aren't as dramatic. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing episodes 3 and 4, and looking forward to hoping that it stays this consistent with comedy.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, everyone. We will see you next Tuesday for another VGMP DLC. We will see you Saturday for another full-length episode of VGMP. And you can catch a trailer for that episode right now. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are diving into a film based on the hit sci-fi gaming RPG trilogy. We're talking about Mass Effect. Paragon Lost.
Whatever, man. You want a hero to worship? I'm right here, baby.
They basically spilled out after like 2 minutes, one guy being Mr. Gropey Hands Man, who I think has an honourable death at the end, whereas the woman he's groping doesn't. That's a bit of a weird choice.
Yeah. I would fight for her as a woman, but we kept calling her Jugs all the way through it. But to be fair, watch it. That was her only defining character trait.
Wait, do you even know where you're going?
No, I just want to smash a few more walls.
Jugs becomes a bug woman that looks exactly like the bug from Starship Troopers. I'm sorry.
Just cutting off the nipples from the chesticles up.
Oh, yeah. They know what their audience is. They don't get rid of the tits.
No.
They're like, we've got to have tits. This bug has to have tits, obviously.
My gun already packs all the firepower this place needs.
Please, I've seen your gun, Essex. Hate to be the one to break it to you, but not that big.
So there's this big battle sequence against the Krogan.
Yep, Krogan.
Krogan. Cronenberg. The beer.
David Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg. Do you know what? Better film. All these soldiers fighting one white-haired Canadian man. And they're all like, well, you've got no way of beating us. And he goes, but you're forgetting. Chest vagina. And pulls out that weird flesh gun thing from Existence.
Yes.
Game over, yeah!
Cyberpunk Studios.